I have a joy. When you come into a community such as First Parish and you sort of do the work of the parish and then you meet a couple who's destined to be married and you sit with them and you talk about their dreams and their aspirations and their challenges and all of that. And then you see Sonia as a product of their love. It's a pretty amazing thing. So for me, that's my joy today, is that you're here. With that, I ran upon this little teeny quote that I really wanted to start with this morning. You may recognize it, you may not. All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. From the ashes a fire shall be woken. A light from the shadows shall spring. Renewed shall be blade that was broken. The crownless again shall be king. Anybody know where that's from? Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien. Yeah, and he uncovered this piece of wisdom in his writing of the trilogy, The Lord of the Rings. A story about a mythical world where all that is good is at war against all that is evil. The tale revolves around one hobbit's journey, wandering beyond his shire to places filled with shadows and others filled with light. Simple as it may seem, Tolkien wrote this paragraph as a reminder of sorts of what we each may and do face to some degree on our life's journey. In a mythical world, and in hindsight, it's pretty easy to spot the evil character, as the characters are somewhat exaggerated in order to remove any doubt or confusion. Every once in a while, they don't tell you, and it's sort of a mystery to figure it out. But you always do, right? You see, we see the battle between good and evil carried out all around us, on television and movies and books and in the daily news. It's a search for good and the rejection of evil. We realize that there is a lot of gray that exists in this world. Am I right about that? You know, you're not really sure. Is this good? Is this bad? How's this going to affect us? We see the battle between good and evil carried out around us in television and movies. Yes, that's true. But in search for good and the rejection of evil, we realize that there's a lot of gray. What we see in ourselves and others may seem good-willed, but oftentimes can turn out otherwise. This morning, as we welcome a young one, Sonia, into our community with all of the hopes and the possibilities at her fingertips, or her mouth, per se, all of the nurturing and the care that her family and all of us will endeavor to provide for her, we also know that she will require protection along the way. That's why we remove the thorns from the roses. How do we do this? How do we protect children? How do we protect her specifically? How do we protect all of our loved ones as well as ourselves from harm? And how do we identify what is harmful? Don't worry, it'll be okay. She's not happy with that. The good is rooted in compassion and loving kindness. These tenets exist in abundance within all of the world's religions. They are our manna. Love and compassion should be two of the cornerstones of our lives and society, but are they? Love and compassion. Here is a story that may help us understand. One evening, an elderly Cherokee brave told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside all people. "My dear one, the battle between two wolves is inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about this for a moment, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee replied, "The one that you feed." The one that you feed. Within us resides all of the possibilities for our lives, good and not so good, that are portrayed by the two wolves in the tale. It is believed that each wolf is represented by the conscious and unconscious desires of humankind. If we are unconscious of our thoughts, we are at the mercy of feeding our evil wolves. What's the matter, sweetheart?
It's the junior choir.
It's the junior choir. She's got to get those lungs all set. Our unconscious thoughts are the unresolved or repressed parts of our psyche. The evil wolf asserts its power when we least expect it, because it's hidden from view. I'm aware of the shadow side when a driver abruptly cuts me off in traffic, tell me if you can relate, and I feel personally affronted. My ego feels insulted. I react in confrontation, believing that I have been wronged deeply. It is only upon reflection that I recognize these emotions as unconscious anger seeking to protect me. The ego strives to assert its will to protect and strengthen itself, and thus we fall prey to its needs. Dave Rico, psychotherapist and teacher, explains that our ego is never meant to disappear, only to be tamed so that its wild energies could be put to better use. To mitigate acting out our unconscious desires, we need to be mindful of our thoughts instead of numb to them. We witness them with openness and tenderness instead of with binding judgment. Similarly, the shadow self, personified by our limitations, the stuff that trips us up on a daily, comprises the unknown side of our personality. To disown the shadow side means going to war with ourselves. Yet to accept ourselves as a whole is to embody our strengths and our limitations. Does anybody know this ancient saying? Know thyself. The good, the bad, the not so perfect. And here's where I'm going to tell you a secret. Embrace it all. Every single piece of it. We live in a world that is filled with so much fear, so much doubt, tragedy, and frankly, dishonesty, that when one watches, listens, or reads the news, we are inundated with all that is shadow. We see and try to legitimize our understanding or understand all of the actions that people take which lead us to suffering. You're not shocked by the bad stuff. We're shocked instead when we hear something positive on the news. Am I wrong about that? Like when we hear something positive, it's like, wow, that's amazing. We may be pleasantly surprised, not because these events are so few and far between, but because they are not reported as much as the tragedies. There is an old saying that if it bleeds, it leads, or reads, whichever works. In the magazine Psychology Today, it explains that fear-based news stories prey on the anxieties we all have, and then they hold us hostage. Being glued to the television, reading the paper, or surfing the internet increases ratings and market shares, but it also raises the probability of depression. In previous decades, the journalistic mission was to report the news as it actually happened, with fairness, balance, and integrity. However, things have changed. Capitalistic motives associated with journalism have forced much of today's television news to become reality-based, to look to the spectacular, the stirring, and the controversial as news stories. It's no longer a race to break the story first or get the facts right. Instead, it's to acquire good ratings in order to get advertisers so that profits soar. In other words, when we watch and get hooked by the drama of the news, we're literally feeding our shadow side, the evil wolf. Does this mean that we should avoid the news? No, it means that we need to find unbiased, unhyped reporting of the news. It is up to us to feed the good wolf inside us. To do this, we need to seek out the good in this world, surround ourselves in it, surround ourselves with people who are optimistic and exemplify all that is good. It takes commitment. It takes time to seek and find the places, the people, and the news that make us feel better about our lives and our world. But it is truly worth the effort. Seek the good news, I say. Personally, I read magazines and websites that cover news from a hopeful perspective, which makes me feel better about the world, like the magazine Yes, described as journalism for people building a better world. The articles are informative and inspiring. They don't hide the truth. They give it to you in a way that is real, but not so dramatic. One article that I read about the science of happiness, which we all seek, explains that the paths we take in search of happiness often lead us to frustration and suffering instead. We try to create outer conditions that we believe will make us happy. They may take Herculean effort and great expense, but it is the mind itself that translates outer conditions into happiness or suffering. This is why we can deeply be unhappy even though we have it all: wealth, power, health, and good family, etc. And conversely, we can remain strong and serene in the face of hardship. Authentic happiness is a way of being and a skill to be cultivated. That's no surprise, right? A teacher known as the Buddha shared that there is a middle way in this life, known as the way of balance and moderation. A middle way might be to work some, to dance some, to sing some, to laugh some. It is okay to allow ourselves to connect to the news, but not be overconsumed by the negativity of it. Take cyber Sabbaths from Facebook and Twitter and news in general. This can help one to gain a sense of perspective in the midst of what seems like polarizing madness at times. Also, remember that much of the sensationalism that exists in this world is created to garner our attention, to fundraise, for ratings, and whatnot. Just be aware. Our perceptions of experiences are subjective. What may be difficult or bad, in my opinion, may seem like good news to some. This is clearly a conundrum, further proving that all of the people cannot be happy all of the time. I've tried to do this. It's never possible. We have different wants, different needs, but the root of good is compassion and loving kindness. So whatever grows out of compassion and loving kindness is the good. So look to the root. What grows out of fear, anger, greed, and ego can never be good. We have an opportunity to live our lives with an understanding of not doing harm in thought, word, and deed. This is the path that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, walked and taught. During the Passion of the Christ, he faced persecution and evil based in fear and greed, but he chose instead to respond in love and peace. The exemplars of goodness exist all around us. Their teachings of loving kindness call us to work and walk and talk in peace and love. But ultimately, it is up to each one of us whether we seek all that is good and carry it forward or not. It is said when the Buddha found enlightenment, the demons felt consternation at the prospect of so much light coming into the world. This is the archetype of the combination of opposites. Light arouses shadow, and shadow arouses light. Goodness is attacked by evil forces, and forces of goodness battle forces of darkness. This is the mythology that is personified in the writings of J.R.R. Tolkien and many an author who seek to find a happy, resolved ending. It is up to each one of us in each and every moment to choose who we will feed, the good or the evil wolf, which meal will help us to feel happy and whole. I believe in my heart of hearts that is why we're here on this earth, to face our fear, reject it if we are able, and to answer this one simple question: how can I do and be good? Our planet and the beings on it depend on us to do the right thing, to cultivate our roots towards loving kindness and compassion. We know good when we see it. We can tell it from afar. And we know the wrong thing as well. We can tell it from afar. It is our responsibility, especially when we commit to another young one entering our midst, Sonia. As we witness her naming and we bless her, in this we are calling ourselves to a higher standard, a standard that compels us to seek and create goodness wherever we may roam in this one precious life. I invite you to take a moment in silent reflection. For this we pray. Blessed be. Amen.